Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning into the Next Chapter talk show. I hope everybody is staying warm because this temperature is getting ready to drop to the teens. I'll be glad when spring gets here. But it's going to be a while, I guess, because it is beginning of January just started. But we got the weather through the storm. Well, tonight we are beginning part two, finding hope and healing, journeying through grief. By the books I'll be using is by Kenneth Hawk, Journeying Through Grief, and this is part two, finding hope and healing. The topic we're going to discuss tonight is how long does grief last? Share, don't compare, and talking is healing. We're going to start off with a scripture from Isaiah 54:10 says, "Through the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has passion for you." Yes, our Lord, have passion for you. He knows what you're going through, and he is going to walk one step at a time with you. So just knowing that he is compassion for you. And it's good to always have someone who's there for you in the midst, in spite of the situation. People often say that grief is like a roller coaster ride. It pulls you up, then it pulls you down. It twists and turns, leaving your heart in your throat and your mind in a blur. You feel like you are on a roller coaster. There may be moments when it seems like you are finally moving upwards. Then all of a sudden, a light, a sound, a smell reminds you of your loved one. And the roller coaster jogs downward. And you feel like you're falling back to where you were the first day when you got the information that you lost that special loved one. But be patient with yourself. Treat yourself as if you were intensive care. It takes time to heal. Don't let anyone rush you, and don't rush yourself. Give yourself time and let yourself grieve. Here's a poem I want to also read. And I know you've probably have gone through these, the last class was the end of December. And it was a few weeks there in between. And maybe you're still feeling these thoughts. No one knows the tears still inside me. People think it's all past. Yes, a lot of people are going to say you should be past this by now. They think I am all better. Every moment in a while, I think, I hope, I pray that things will be better too. But then I remember the pain flows back. And the bottom falls out, and I fall, and I fall, and I fall. And I know once again that things aren't all better. My loved one is gone, and I cry alone. How much longer, God? How long does this last? Well, that's our first topic tonight. How long does grief last? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. Well, this person said when she was going through her loss that losing a loved one is like having your leg amputated. You don't get over an amputation leg. The wound may heal, and the leg will never grow back. You always have the absence of your life, and you always walk with a limp. In another sense, grief doesn't end. Eventually, the intense pain subsides. Memories bring more smiles than tears, and the future appears more hopeful. And there is more hope. Most people will have 2 or 3 years to do the grieving they need to do. Same may take less. Some may take more. There's no one-size-fits-one for grief. There's only your unique and personal frame. That is the only one that really matters for you. Many people describe grief as waves from a storm crashing on the shore. At first, the waves are very large, coming to you one right after another. Each wave knocks you flat. Often you don't even have time to get back up on your feet after one wave comes and knocks you down again. But gradually the wave gets smaller and it comes further apart. In time, an occasional wave will still bother you, but more often you'll be able to keep your balance and stay on your feet. Think about when you walk on the beach and you always feel like you're moving. The water, you're standing there near the water and you feel like it's moving. And it's moving slowly. That's just what this feeling is. But you begin to balance. Sometimes it catches you off guard and you feel like you're going to fall. But you get your balance and you stay on your feet. That's just like grief. Right now, the most important thing that you can do is not let anyone, including yourself, pressure you to stop grieving. You can't stop the wave of grief from hitting you any more than you could stop storm waves from rolling in on the shore. The wave never comes. The waves need to come and go until they gradually subside. Grief simply takes time. It can't be rushed or hurried. Take all the time you need and let the wave come. Grief simply takes time. Now we're going to talk about share, don't compare. Sharing what you are going through with others who are grieving can be very helpful. It's reassuring to learn that other people are struggling with some of the same feelings and issues as you. Sharing also makes it possible for two or more people to support and comfort each other during difficult times. But while sharing is good, don't compare your grief to anyone else. Trying to decide whom grief or loss is greater or lesser won't reduce either person's pain. Comparing grief always causes problems. Comparing grief can cause headaches. You are already feeling terrible because of your loss. Thinking you should grieve a specific way or for a certain amount of time to match another person's grief only will make you feel worse. Losses are never comparable. Share yourself the added pain. Comparing grief can cause tension. Even members of the same family grieving the same time won't all grieve the same way. Your relationship with that loved one is different, and you will grieve differently. One man said to his mother and was angry at, one man told his mother was angry at him because he felt that he was grieving enough after his brother had died. And he said, I wasn't showing the same emotion at the same intensity for long as she was. So she felt that I couldn't love my brother enough. I love him dearly. My grief was just different than yours. Trying to compare someone else's grief cause just creates more tension. So don't try to compare your grief with someone else. Comparing grief can cause unrealistic expectation. Although you know what is going on inside of you, you can never really know exactly what's going on inside another person. looking on from the outside, you draw a certain conclusion about the other person because they're grieving too. But it's important that you watch young people because you don't know how they are grieving. It's best to talk with them, trying to find ways to open up the conversation of the loved one. Maybe tell stories, something funny. Just trying to get to see how they really feel. So that's important. We adults, we grieve differently, we think differently, we act differently. But we have to watch the young ones and making sure that we understand and get to understand what they're feeling. Grief is a process, not a race. You can't measure your own grief by someone else's calendar or rules. Give yourself as much time as you need and grieve whoever you need to grieve. Share your grief with others. Don't compare. Grieve the way you need to grieve. Grieve the way you need to grieve. And recognize that others need to grieve in the way that's right for them. It does help to make sure that person is positive and spiritually. You want to be talking to someone that's not negative. You want someone that is positive and spiritual because they believe in God and knowing that God is the one that's going to really help you through one day at a time. The next topic is talking is healing. Talking is healing. I'm going to be, in this topic, I'm going to talk about some comments from other people who felt that talking is healing. In Matthew 11:28, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. God is still there. He's still on the throne, and he's still compassionate. A man told someone once to always keep his father told him, always keep a stiffer upper lip. From the time he was a child, he had been taught not to cry or to show his feelings. Years later, when his father died, he couldn't really grieve because he kept his feelings bottled up inside, just as he's been taught. But keep his feelings hidden became harder and harder for him. Just one second, I'm checking, keeping up with my time. It began harder and harder for him. One day he went to visit his mother, who had always taught him to be strong and emotionless. He told her he was sorry, but he just couldn't keep up the any longer. He needed to cry and be and talk how much he missed his father. The man was afraid his mother would be very disappointed with him. Instead, she wrapped her arms around him and began to sob. She then told him that a story. Said early in her marriage with the father he went to a party, and a woman was there whom husband had just passed away a few months earlier. Something caused her to burst into tears, but she began talking about how much she missed him. Your father was shocked by her behavior, but on the way home, he told me, I will be totally humiliated if you would ever behave that way. Any member of the family had better be strong and always keep a stiffer upper lip. From that day on, the mother swallowed all of her emotions. It was the way that the father wanted, and it was how she raised her children. The man and the mother decided right then, that's the son and the mother, decided right then that they would no longer expect each other to keep a stiff upper lip, that they would talk, that they would share their feelings, that they would cry, and they would be human together again. Yes, we men are told not to cry, to be strong, and this does happen. Talking is healing. Talking keeps you locate your pain. Bring it to the surface and let it go. Because your wound doesn't suddenly go away. The pain reoccurs, and you need to talk about it again, again, and again. That's why grieving people need to talk about the same feeling, a memory, over and over again. Here's another. It is said that you need to share your story 50, 100, or 200 times. I think at this time it's been 26 years, and I think I've shared my story probably close to one of those numbers. But every time I have shared it, I try to share it to let others know, that person that I'm talking to right then and there, that I do understand what she's going through. Not all of the emotions, not all of the feelings inside, but I've been there and I've walked this journey, the same journey he or she has. So, yes, I have told my story, and I felt that my stories have helped others, knowing that you can get through it. God will help you through it one day at a time. It's been 26 years, but he got me through it with me and my children. So it is helpful to tell your story. Sometimes it can be painful, but after a while you can smile and you can express your feelings to the other person to encourage that other person. So it's so important that talk is healing. Mother Teresa says in this poem, "There's a light in the world, a healing spirit, more powerful than any darkness we may encounter. We sometimes lose sight of this force when there is so much suffering, too much pain. Then suddenly the spirit will emerge through the lives of ordinary people who care and answer in extraordinary ways." Yes. That was quoted by Mother Teresa. So those are the three topics that I wanted to go through tonight in part two. I hope that you have gotten some encouragement in some of those topics that I've discussed tonight. How long does grief last? Share, don't compare. Talking is healing. Next week, the topics will be healing people, dealing with anger, and letting go of guilt. And the next, we will continue in this book for the next couple of weeks, and I'll talk about the other topics later, but those are the three topics we'll be talking about next week. Just be encouraged and knowing that God will walk with you every step of the way. He did it for me, and I know he'll do it for you. I have a couple of announcements. This coming Saturday is our first meeting of the year. It will be held for the Widows Ministry at my home from 9 to 11 hopefully this coming Saturday, because we have a whole lot to talk about. You're talking about our trip for 2018. You'll be giving a calendar, what we're going to be doing for the rest of the year. We might need to add some things as we discuss in the meeting. Our content of the breakfast will be prepared, so I hope that you will be able to come out. And we also are going to be talking about our 15-year anniversary coming up in September. It's going to be September 15th, and it's 15 years. We want to plan this each day, each month of this up until September. We want this to be a great and wonderful celebration. We thank you so much for supporting the Next Chapter Widows Ministry. Let others know that these grief sessions are not just for widows only. It's for anyone that's going through grief. And I hope that I will be able to bring some important points out that will help you through each day of your journey, journeying through grief. That is all we have tonight. And thank you so much for tuning in. Be blessed and have a great week. Stay warm and be careful in the snow. I'm not having listened at the weather report again since earlier today. But be careful and enjoy the white snow. I hope it's not too much ice. But be blessed and be careful. And one thing I also wanted to do, I wanted to wish my sister, Florence, in South Carolina, she's on the air tonight, wishing her a happy birthday. It's your birthday. It's your birthday. Happy birthday to you, Florence. I didn't get to you. I worked a little bit later today, and I came home and went over my studies and a few things. Didn't get the call. I called you yesterday thinking that your birthday was yesterday. It was just a day ahead, looking at the calendar wrong. But I hope that you had a wonderful day, and be blessed, and I'll talk to you real soon. Good night, everyone.
But I sure been faithful. See, God's got a purpose, yeah. And I know He's able.